Hi everyone, this is Yaro Starek. Welcome to a Blog Mastermind question and answer session. This call is being recorded already, so if you don't want to use your real name when you ask a question, that's fine. Just be aware that the call will be redistributed to the other members. So this is a public recording, so don't say anything you wouldn't want to say in public. This call, like all calls, is muted. Now what I'm going to do is switch this call to lecture mode. So let me do that. Okay, so we're activated lecture mode. So what you can do if you want to ask a question is press *9 on your phone dial pad or on your Skype number pad, and a little hand will go up on my control panel, and that should be working this time. I stopped it up last time, but you can press *9 anytime from now on, and your hand will go up. And you can then, I will click your little hand, and I'll go through them in order of the hands that show up my control panel, and the little prompt will say something to you when it's your turn to ask your question, and just say your name, say hello, and ask away. Here we go. Or not. I'm not seeing any hands. Here we go.
Hey, Yaro, it's Mitch. Surprise, I got a question.
Hey, Mitch.
So I asked everybody that comes to my blog, you know, because I got my forums going exactly how you told me how to do it. You know, you get a couple fanatical people and all that stuff, and, you know, got it going pretty nicely. So I asked them, you know, one of the forums that I set up was, you know, what do you guys want to see? And the thing that the number one request was a chat room for so we could all chat during football games. So they're like, it's almost like an automatic schedule that's set up. Is that a good idea? Because I think I'll lose forum posts and comments.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, you've seen the little chat room plugin on the Blog Mastermind forums, which really, you know, isn't used extensively, but it is there. I think something like that would possibly be effective. I mean, you're talking about a period in time when the actual game is on. So I don't think it will detract too much from the forum. And you got to remember, a forum is not real time. You know, it has to be refreshed, and you sort of have to sit there clicking the refresh button to see the new post to a forum thread. So it doesn't really, you know, go well with something that might be time sensitive. So I think a little chat room would actually be pretty good. I wouldn't hesitate. Even old school IRC, for anyone really geeky that might remember that, Internet Relay Chat, which is a text-based chat service. And that even that was, you know, pretty functional for running something like what you're talking about doing.
How do you moderate something like that? I mean, is there like any parameters, like how many people should I allow in the chat room and things like that? Because like on Saturday, I tried doing it just in the forums through a thread, and I had over 7,000 visitors. So, I mean, I don't want to have a chat room with 7,000 people. I don't think I'll have that many. I'm not, you know, I don't think I'm that big yet, but
get some sponsored, you know, banners up if you do. Well, there's a couple of ways. If you go a dedicated chat room, and there'll be some externally hosted services. I haven't looked into this for years now, so I don't know who the leaders are in the market, but I'm sure there are plenty of services out there, and they're going to have some pretty significant controls over, you know, what you can do as a moderator. So, you know, you can boot people, you know, you can give people warnings, you can have other moderators who do that for you, which would be obviously what I suggest you do, so you're not sitting there trying to control everything. But, you know, it's something you can sort of take slowly and build your way up and see what your uptake is. You know, if you only get a couple hundred people, that's manageable. That's a really great result. You know, that's something that would be quite popular, and I think a great way to foster community. So I would do two things. Look around and see what software is available, and what two things, standalone software and embedded software. So usually, you know, the service nowadays externally hosted usually. So, you go to even something like Blog Talk Radio. I know that's not technically a chat service, but it has the function to provide chat. It's obviously meant for doing interviews and doing your own radio show, basically. But it does have an interface for typing text, and people just sit there and type. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. Worst comes to worst, you're going to say, listen, I need to get, you know, five people to help me control this. You have to do a little bit of a vetting process to find the mature people, and then tell them, you know, what's allowed and what's not allowed, and let them do all the moderating for you.
All right. Thanks. I just can't believe I have enough people to actually do this sort of stuff. I'm still floored by the whole process.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, every time you get on this call, Mitch, you're talking about amazing things. So hopefully, you know, you're dealing with the growth you're going through, okay, and maybe, you know, starting to look to bring on some people to help you if you haven't already.
Yeah, I'm still dealing with the fact that people recognize me on the street sometimes. That's a weird thing.
Yeah, that's cool. Blog celebrity, huh?
Yeah, I don't want to be. I just want to watch college football.
You better move to a town that doesn't follow college football then. All right.
Thanks, Yaro.
No problem.
Hi, Yaro. This is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I have a question about my blog. My blog is for introducing people to the freebie industry. And in that, I'm working with a lot of people that are already involved in the freebie industry, but they want to make more money, and they're using my tips in order to make more money, and it's been pretty successful so far. My question has to do with the use of referral links. Now, because I'm working with the freebie sites, I'm getting a lot of people that are already signed up at the freebie sites that want to have a resource where they can train their referrals. Now, when I do, for example, reviews of the freebie sites and interviews with the freebie site owners, someone has been suggesting to me for a while that I need to put my referral links in there. And I guess I've been having a problem with doing that, because if you're bringing people to my blog so that they can learn about the freebie industry and they see my referral links, most likely they'll work with me as opposed to working with you. And I don't want to make it seem as if I'm trying to steal people's referrals. And I just wanted to know if you had any, if you understand what I mean, and if you had any suggestions where that is concerned.
I need you to draw a diagram for me on this one. I think I understand it. So you've basically got people referring traffic to your blog, and then you're also referring that traffic away from your blog to freebie offers. And you want
to
make sure.
I haven't been referring people to freebie offers, and the reason for that is I don't want to steal referrals from others. I've been promoting stuff like they can get their own website to train their referrals if they use my referral link for hosting.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to figure out is, when I'm talking about the freebie sites, when I'm reviewing the freebie sites and so on, should I use my referral links there or should I not? By using my referral links, if, for example, you're sending someone to my blog because it has good information, but you want them to sign up with you, if I use my referral links, it's very possible that I might steal that referral from you. And I don't want that to be the case.
Well, a couple of considerations here. You have to look at what the standard is in your industry. You know, what is the accepted practice for doing this? In where I, you know, write in with my blog, it would be accepted that I have my affiliate links to refer to. The only time I wouldn't be, you know, it'd be frowned upon to do that is if I was selling my own product, and then instead of someone who is an affiliate of mine who's promoting my product, if I basically took away their commission by then using my own affiliate link to sort of null and void their referral. That's wrong, but that's because I'm the creator and, you know, the publisher of that product. So in that case, you want to give as much money to your affiliates because then they'll keep promoting. In this case, you're not necessarily in charge of anything other than those templates you offer to people. So those things, obviously, you want to give credit to your affiliates. But if you're passing on traffic to other offers, in my industry, that would be fine. You know, people are linking to your blog just because it has something of value. And what you then do with that traffic is up to you. If they're only linking to your site, though, because they expect to make a commission somewhere down the line, and then suddenly they see you taking that away from them, then obviously they're going to stop doing that. But I don't know what the motivation is behind the person who's sending you that traffic. maybe you do, and you know that, you know, because you have an intimate understanding of your industry. So, you know, if you know that, then you can decide. But based on what I've experienced, it would be fine for you to use your own affiliate link.
I guess the main problem would be the fact that I'm getting most of my traffic right now from freebies, from the freebie sites that like what I'm doing, so they want their members to be well trained. However, I think if it seems as if they're promoting one person, that can be a problem. And if they're coming to my site and I'm getting all the referrals that someone else referred to them, I think that could be a problem.
Well, you know, if you are concerned about it, come up with an avenue to benefit from that referred traffic that doesn't impact the, you know, the benefit they're getting by sending it to you. So, I mean, your template idea, and by the way, I responded to your forum post. You asked about those people who are potentially doing a promotion for you of your templates. I actually responded to your forum post about half an hour ago. So you can jump back.
I just saw that, so I checked that out, and I thank you for responding.
No problem. So, yeah, I would, you know, come up with, if you're really concerned, come up with more ideas where you're selling your own product, and then they could be referring, you know, to you, and you can share some of the money you make. You know, for example, the template idea you had was great. You know, if you set something up where you could have people recommending those templates for you and split that $95 per sale you make or per referral you make with that person, then right there you've got an avenue to ramp up the traffic. I don't know if, you know, that's something you could see yourself doing because you've got two different layers of affiliate links there, but, you know, it's technically possible.
Is there any way to have referral links to your blog?
There is. I've actually thought about that myself, and I've seen some people do it. Even with, for example, what I'm doing now with one shopping cart, you can create dynamic referral links. So I can have a person create an affiliate link that points to any article in my blog. So they then give that link to their users. If their user clicks the link, it cookies that person's browser, and then if they ever buy my product, that person, assuming the cookie is still there, will get a commission. That works if you're using one shopping cart and, you know, you're selling all your products through just that shopping cart. So as long as the cookie is from that system, it will trigger it when a sale is made. So yes, it is possible. You have to be aware, though, when you do that, you're sort of losing some of the benefits of a normal link. You know, you're not getting a search engine benefit because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't look like your blogaddress.com. It looks like, you know, shoppingcart.com URL equals your blogaddress.com. So it's not, you know, you lose some benefits, but you do have the ability to do that.
So there's no plugin that integrates with WordPress that does that, that you know of?
You know, I would never want to say that conclusively because there's so many plugins out there. And I'm sure we're not the only two people who've ever thought about this. So I think there may be something out there. There certainly are affiliate tracking plugins for WordPress where you can, you know, track aspects of how you sell products, you know, so you can know the clicks and all that sort of thing. But I don't know of anything that does exactly what we're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Errol.
No problem, Jesse. All right, everyone, just a reminder, if you do want to ask a question, press *9. I'll keep moving through the hands.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Yara? My name's Jim.
Hey, Jim.
I've got a blog that's about it's a travel blog, and turns out now it's been focusing on Costa Rica more than anything. And, you know, at this point, I'm just trying to drive some traffic to it. I've been going a lot to a place called TripAdvisor, and a lot of people – poster on the Costa Rica forum. So, you know, I've been there many, many times. I mean, like going back again in December will be my second time this year. So, you know, I just tell people what I know and, you know, try to ways to save money, you know, best things to see, how to get around, so on and so forth. And at this point, I'm just trying to drive traffic to the site. So, you know, if you have any suggestions or, you know, advice or whatnot.
In your sort of, you know, very specific topic, you picked a country and you picked travel to a country, you might do a little bit of keyword research just to see what the popular phrases are for, you know, traveling to that country, just because there might be a certain combination of words people use. The Google keyword tool, if you just type that into Google, it's free, and that will give you a little insight. You know, that maybe they're looking for discount Costa Rica vacation. Those are the three words they use over and over again. And if they do that, write a blog post with that title. You know, that means you're going to hopefully rank for that phrase. And you know, GitTail will tell you some of these services as well. I don't know if you've hit the lesson where I talk about GitTail. It's a little bit, you know, I don't think it's ever going to be a tool that's going to make a huge difference, but it'll give you some interesting information about what phrases people use to find your blog currently. It's not always great until you've got some traffic. You know, you do need to have some coming in. But it'll give you an idea. Are there certain phrases people are using to find your blog, but your blog's not quite answering that question yet? And it'll give you ideas for articles to write. And I only say these things as relevant in your case in particular because you're going to get some good search traffic because you can get very targeted results when you are going for a country and holidaying to a country. That's why, you know, I think what you're doing already with going to TripAdvisor, that's great. I would find any forums related, you know, travel forums that have threads that talk about Costa Rica in particular. Just go in there and leave some of your wisdom. And you could almost leave that forum because most forums would probably be on the whole topic of travel or something close to that. And then there'll be only a handful of threads related to Costa Rica. And in which case you can quickly blanket those threads, demonstrate your expertise and almost leave that forum for a few weeks and not worry so much. So while in most cases you sort of have to build up a profile because you do have a specific topic here, it might be easier for you to do that. I think there's a lot of avenues for offline marketing in your case. You know, I don't know what sort of publications are being printed in the real world about travel to Costa Rica, but I'm sure you could find possibly something you could write a guest contribution to that might get you some serious interest and some traffic that way. Are you building a list with your blog to, you know, offer a Costa Rica travel discount advice or something like that?
I haven't put that up yet. I've got Google Analytics, and thus far I've had about 500 hits. I've definitely looked, you know, Aweber you're speaking about, correct?
Right.
And do you think that's something I should implement now, even though the traffic is low?
The thing with a travel blog, you get a lot of very time-dependent searching. So people want an answer to a specific question right then and there.
Right.
So they're not the kind of people who bookmark a blog like yours, unless they love your writing style and they just want to keep touch of what you're doing. Maybe they travel to Costa Rica on a repeat basis. The good thing about having that email list is they may fill that out just to get some information about discounts, whatever it is you offer to incentivize it. And even though they won't come back to your blog, you'll send an email once a week or once a month, whatever, and that will bring them back. And you have that basically a hook. There's a way to keep in touch. So you don't have to rely on them to come back to your blog. You've got that means to send something to them anytime you want to. So I think it's important with your kind of blog just to have that, you know, search traffic may be all you need. You may just get a constant stream of new visitors coming to your site, but an email list for a travel blog, I think, is a must.
Okay, understood. And just one more question, please.
Sure.
And that would be as far as traffic goes, because I've been doing this for about 6 weeks or so, I would say at about the 4 to 5 month mark, what would be a healthy amount of traffic for the site? I mean, I'm not looking for overnight success, but I'd like to feel that, you know, I'm making some progress.
Well, that's a scary question, Jim. What I can, you know, with the disclaimer that this can vary significantly, I should give you a medium average, not as a guesstimate. All I can do is tell people what happened with me and what I've seen other people. You know, look, Mitch, who just called in prior, you know, he's had ridiculous amounts of traffic in a much shorter period of time than I did. And his blog gets more traffic than mine does. And it's probably only, you know, one third of the age of my blog. So he just hit on some huge traffic sources.
My blog,
you know, and your blog, it's got the potential for traffic. It's probably not going to be college football, but again, it'll be some very targeted visitors. So you probably could do a lot with not quite as much. My blog by 6 months had around 500 to 1,000, I think it was 500 to 1,000 daily visitors. And that was not according to Google Analytics. So it was probably a bit lower. Was probably closer to maybe, you know, 400 to 500 unique visitors per day. I remember, you probably aren't up to it, but the last lesson or the second last lesson, one of those two, I actually give you an image of my traffic stats from month 6 to month 12, taken from Webalizer, which tends to slightly overestimate your real traffic. But it does give you a good indication to see that the first six 6 months of my blog's growth was very slow, to put it mildly. Right. It was, you know, we're adding 10 to 20 to 30 to 40. But around about month six, month seven, it started going from 300 to 400 to 500 to 600. So you're getting, you know, that compounding happening. And by the end of the year, I had broken 1,000 RSS subscribers. You know, that's not going to happen, I don't think, for your niche. But right. You certainly could be getting 1,000 unique visitors by the end of the year. Most of the people I've seen put in concentrated effort will get somewhere between 500 and 5,000 unique visitors within 6 to 12 months. As a very broad estimate right. there.
Okay? Excellent. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Have a good one.
Okay.
Who's next? Darryl. Hi, it's Kim from Chicago, the Scout for Success blog.
Scoutforsuccess.com?
Yes.
Okay.
And I had a question for you regarding the sources for articles. For me, the blog, the adventure in blogging is almost as much about the writing as it is about the monetizing the blog and sharing information. There's a lot of different factors that go, and I'm sure that's true of everyone. Everyone blogs for different reasons. My question is, while I am trying to gather a larger audience, and I know that you've talked before about utilizing other sources of information or, you know, other sources for your posts, mm-hmm. do you think in the beginning, though, is it important to do those articles yourself, or does it not make a difference? Is it just the quality of the posts? For example, I started before I even heard about your course. I had been so compelled to write that I started writing for e-zine articles just to drive business to my regular business website. And so when I stumbled upon your course, which of course we all know is not true, it happens for a reason. When I stumbled on your course, I was able to use those articles as my initial pillar posts. So my question for you, bottom line, is, is it important in the beginning, in this first couple, 3 months, that I continue to write the articles myself as frequently as possible, or does it not matter as long as the articles I put up there are good articles? Does it matter if they come from me or not?
Strictly speaking, no, it doesn't. We're talking about audience satisfaction as the the real criteria here that matters. So either you're educating, informing, entertaining, whatever it is, if that content is scratching the itch of an audience, then that's all that really matters. Whether you write it yourself or you have other people writing it is I won't say irrelevant, but it's not a critical factor. You know, you've got issues like whether you establish that cult of following because it's a certain voice and a certain style of writing and a certain personality that you put through your work. But that can be fabricated by other authors that you put your name to. Of course, if there's a sudden change, then your audience is going to know that. Whether that makes a dramatic difference, though, is difficult to say because, once again, if you're scratching that itch and giving value, you're not going to lose your audience. So if you have an avenue to get great content produced but not write it yourself, don't be afraid to use it.
You said something that made me think. For example, to use the e-zine articles, as you're probably aware, you do have to attribute them to the person who wrote them. But it sounds like you're saying your audience, as long as the information in your blog is relevant to what they started coming to you for, they're not going to look at the fact that somebody else wrote a particular post, and that's not going to ruin the validity, as long as it's keeping in touch with what you've established as the theme of your blog.
That's right, although it sounds like you're talking about taking e-zine articles content and from other authors and putting that onto your blog.
Right, that's what I'm saying, is that's why they have that out there, so people can use it for whatever purpose they want online. They just have to attribute at the bottom, that bottom paragraph.
Right. There's a few issues with doing that. You've got the issue of duplicate content, which actually can be a pretty big issue. If you're republishing e-zine articles content, then Google is going to see that e-zine articles was the source of your content and then not recognize your blog as a source of original content.
Okay.
Because of that, there's a very good chance you will not get high search engine rankings for that content. And in fact, establishing authority from your blog will be very challenging. Google looks for original content that attracts incoming links. Now, okay. It is quite possible that you could reproduce a bunch of Easy and Articles content, get a lot of solid incoming authority links, and rank well as a result of that. However, I don't know people who've done that. In most cases, if you're reproducing Easy and Articles content, it's very difficult to rank well. I've said it before, I get 50% of my traffic from Google. Basically, I'd be running on half if I was just publishing Easy and Articles content.
It's something you can... expanded on that, because I did not even think of that. I just wanted to make sure that the integrity of the blog was maintained. I hadn't even thought about that, so thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, everyone would be doing it. If it was a means to getting lots and lots of traffic and you're getting this content from free, everyone would be just reproducing Easy and Articles. And a lot of people do, but that's why Google had to find a way to assess where is the good content coming from, where's the original source, and what site should be the authority site. Easy and Articles has a lot of authority. They're the ones who usually publish original content first. They're always going to rank first for those articles. It's just, if you do a search, you often see Easy and Articles content come up in search results. So I would not recommend relying on that as a source of content.
I'm just going to knuckle down and write for an hour every day. So thank you very much.
No problem. All right. Thanks, Kim from Chicago.
Hey, Yaro.
Hello.
Yeah, this is Jake on from San Francisco.
Hi, Jake.
A couple of real brief questions, and then I'll just sit back and let you respond. I'm looking at your blog right now, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe you had yours custom done. But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, I clicked on one of the sponsorship opportunities, because what I'm trying to do is my blog is going to be based around home business, and I'm also looking at, as opposed to sponsors, dropping in either a banner or a couple of those ads, like where you have your four squares there to be like affiliate programs that I have and promote on a rotational basis. And I'm not sure if I need to buy thesis or who I need, what type of theme I need to look at having that will enable me to do a banner ad at the bottom and something comparable to what you're doing on your blog. And if you can comment about resources for those things to have happen, please.
Okay. Yes, my blog design is custom. And to deliver those banners, we're using a program called OpenX. It used to be called Open Ads, and before that, it was called PHP Ads New. I do refer to that in the section on running advertising on your blog in the latter half of the set of Blog Mastermind lessons. So don't worry about writing that down. It's all in there. I'd have to pull up my lesson lists. It's in the monetization section, so we're talking about the early 20s. I'll just keep talking. I'll see if I can pull it out while I'm doing that. But there's also some plugins you can get that run basically ad management campaigns. They're simpler. I recommend OpenX because it's a great piece of software. It's free, and it's a little tricky to get up and running, which is why I personally have my tech person do that for me, and I would recommend to anyone who wants to get this done, if you're not a tech person, you have your tech person do this. But once you've got it set up, it will provide the stats on number of impressions, the number of clicks. You can control individual advertisers, and you can do pretty much everything you want that a robust advertising management system offers. Going down a notch, you will find some plugins. Some are free. Some will have like sponsored links in the actual output that will control banners for you. But most of these require some sort of hacking or customizing of your theme. Now, Thesis, I believe, has some of this already inbuilt to it. So it's certainly an option. I haven't checked out the advertising section on Thesis and how much control you get over that. And maybe someone listening to this call who's using Thesis could stick their hand up and let me know how good Thesis is as an advertising management system. But there's also some themes out there, that free themes that will have the advertising positions built in, but there won't necessarily be some kind of management system behind that controlling it. So my advice for you is to, Jake, either depending on what level of tech skills you have, if this is something you're doing yourself, then look into those, look into OpenX, look into, you just type in WordPress banner management plugin to Google. You get a bunch of options there. And if you're not a tech person, though, just go, listen, I want my blog to do exactly like Yarrow's or exactly like Darren's or whoever's blog you want to copy or emulate. Say, I want to look like this with those banners here, here, and here, and they'll do the installation for you, get the system set up, and then you won't have to worry about it. Okay?
That makes good sense, Yarrow. I essentially have already paid for an hour of someone's time that you recommended on your resource page, but before I invested in that hour's time, I wanted to get some feedback in terms of whether I needed to consider moving in the direction of getting a thesis or a paid theme that had those frameworks built in like you just described. So you've helped me a great deal, and I appreciate your feedback.
No problem. I wouldn't worry too much regarding this aspect because it's something you can change after the fact without really, worrying too much. You know, I've changed blog designs about 4 times, and the banner positions have moved around. So, the challenge with blogging is actually getting enough traffic so that you provide value to sponsors or you're selling affiliate products if you're putting affiliate banners there. So don't stress. Find the person who you like that you see and know are doing well. Copy as much of it as you want and then get to work blogging.
Thank you.
No problem. Thanks, Jake from San Francisco.
Hello, Yarrow. This is Lisette.
Hi, Lisa.
I have a question regarding content, unique content. I've seen some people that have something called Copyscape on their homepage.
Right.
Well, how do you feel about that? I know I haven't seen any information on your forums, or at least I couldn't find it.
No, I haven't really put much out there regarding the copyright of work. That's really the point of Copyscape, is just to publicize what you allow people to do with your content. And usually people put that on there to state the restrictions, like you can't republish or you can't reuse this, or maybe you can reuse it, but with attributes, so you have to use my name or a link to my website. There's a few different schools of thought with this. You might know Zen Habits, that blog by Leo. He has an interesting philosophy with that. He just basically says anyone can do anything they want with my content. You can take it, you can stick it on your blog, put your name as the author if you want, even reproduce it, republish it, print it, whatever you want. I don't mind. I'm interested in just getting information out there. That's what's important to him. So he doesn't worry about stolen content. I'm more inclined to, I actually quite like Leo's stance. I think some people prefer to have at least the protection of, you cannot use my content without asking for me. And I have people asking to use some of my articles and republish them. In most cases, I'll say yes, but I'll limit the number of articles they can use. So I'll have them tell me which pieces of content they want, and then I'll say yes or no based on that. And Copyscape is just a way of publicizing your status on use of your content. So not a big issue, really isn't. I wouldn't worry too much about it. If you want, go check out a little bit of information on what that service provides and decide if you want to add it to your blog.
But you don't think that turns readers off when they see that on the homepage?
I don't know. Did it turn you off when you saw it?
It made me think a little, but then it made me think, maybe I need that kind of protection. I don't know.
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I should always get that disclaimer out there. But I have not been stressed. I've been doing this for a long time. A lot of my content's been stolen, and I gave up trying to patrol it. And that's the reason why you won't see a Copyscape image there on my blog. I would never give it much thought in terms of whether it's going to impact my audience perception of my content. And, you could run a test with this and do a survey, but we're talking, I think, about something that's not, it's not an 80-20 rule here. You're not going to get a marginal increase or decrease as a result of having it or not having it. That's my gut feeling about it. You'd want to test for sure, but I'm pretty confident it's not going to have a significant impact. It does depend on what industry you're in, but there's all kinds of credibility badges you can put onto your blog to make you appear more authoritative. You know, there's in the business world, you get those government or you know, trusted approved company. I don't know what the name is. One in particular, you can get Business Bureau, and basically you buy it and you get to put the graphic on it, and then that gives some sort of perceived credibility you've got. So Copyscape may have a similar impact on some people. They might trust you more and think of you more authoritative because you've gone to the trouble of putting an image like that on your blog. But it would be bothering me anyway. Okay.
Thank
you. Okay. No problem. You. Okay. Let's see. Do we have any more hands up? No, we have a free line, everyone. So if you've been waiting to ask a question, just press *9 on your Skype pad or your phone, and your hand will go up. And I'll unmute you, and you can ask your question. But don't all flood me at once. Okay. Still not seeing any. We got a pretty full room. Don't be shy. No question is too basic or too advanced. If it is too advanced, I just won't be able to answer with much knowledge. So here we go. One more.
Yaro, Mitch again. Back to something we talked about on last call, and that's getting help, you know, for mm-hmm. people to help us out, kind of manage the onslaught of work that starts to pile up. As things get busier. And, I mean, you know, I haven't monetized my blog, and I haven't put a lot of money into it or anything. And, you know, is it something that you wouldn't do to, like, give away, like, shares of your blog to compensate people? Because, I mean, I think my blog is going to be worth a lot of money. And it's like, I don't want to just be giving it away. You know, to yeah. someone that's not going to put in, I mean, yeah, I had a good niche. I got, you know, I got lucky in a couple of spots, but I think I worked pretty hard to get the traffic, you know, every hit that I've gotten, I've really, really worked for. And, you know, what do you think about giving away, you know, partial, like, ownership, like shares, you know, trade off for help? Because, I really need help. I really, you know, it's something I'm desperate for, but I don't want to pour in, you know, the type of money that it would take to get the type of help that I want.
It depends. You can treat this as a startup company. And in that case, you can look for, you know, angel investors, capital investors, family, friends, people who want to give you money, which you then use that money to hire people. I have come from the entrepreneurial school of thought where I hate giving away any ownership of what I do unless it's absolutely necessary, because it makes things messy. I really believe, you know, unless you really contract it well and just getting, you know, legality sorted out costs you money. It's messy, especially for something that's technically a small business. That being said, some people, you know, swear by the not just the financial backing, but the intellectual capital, the support you get from someone who knows business and knows, let's say, you know, online publishing and has had experience growing businesses in your area. They could bring to the table not only money, but a lot of experience to help you grow and tell you which direction to go and who you should hire first, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, in that case, though, if you did go down that path, you need to show either a hell of a lot of traffic, probably more than you're getting right now, Mitch, but you know, you could get up there. You know, we're talking like, you know, a million page views a month sort of thing, maybe more than that. You know, depends on the type of investor, the caliber of the investor. But I guess I can ask you, Mitch, why haven't you decided to just monetize a little bit so you can hire a virtual assistant to help you with the workload?
Because I'm overwhelmed by the amount of work that I have because...
You're drowning.
Because my fans, or whatever you want to call them, they've come to expect the type of quality of work that I'm producing, and I think that's how I got so many people so fast, is because I haven't gone out and stolen anybody's work. I haven't gone out and given people what they've seen anywhere else. I sit down and I write an article, and if it's 5,000 words or 4,000 words or 2,000 words, I don't really care, as long as my people like it. And that's been number one to me, is the content. The money, like we've talked about in the past, if I have people, money will come at some point. It was never an objective of mine at the beginning, and it's not right now. The only thing that I don't want to do is to go into the hole on this more, oh, no. you know, more than just the simple technical things, which, you know, I'm quite frankly, like, you know, I'll talk about installing a chat room, but we, you know, you and I both know that, that I'm not going to be doing any actual installing myself, because I do that, my whole site gets knocked off the web, you know.
Okay. Well, I think you should try and maybe cash in on a little bit of the goodwill you've developed in your area. I mean, if you're not ready to monetize, that's a choice you're making. Your audience, there's got to be some people in there who want to help you out. They want to pay you back a little bit. So come up with a list of tasks that you could, you know, give to other people that, you know, don't require too much significant involvement from yourself. You know, moderating forums, moderating chat rooms. I don't know what your to-do list looks like, so I don't know what it is you're drowning in. Obviously, you're trying to continue to write. This is your priority, but there must be some other things that are making you stressed. Think about, you know, just sending, writing a blog post or you know, posting in the forum, whatever it is, saying, hi, guys, due to the overwhelming growth of my blog, I'm feeling a bit, you know, overwhelmed and drowning in the amount of work here, and I don't want it to impact my ability to give you what you've come to expect from me, so I'm looking for some help. I need someone to do this, 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 and this, or I need a couple of people to do this, this, and this. Would you consider helping me with that? And you'd be surprised. If you got a lot of goodwill, you can get a lot of help.
Because I think you know, my number one priority right now is that I've thoroughly outgrown my template and my entire blog design, because I never expected to have this kind of, you know, this kind of result. So it's like, I figured, like, you know, you get a template and then you adjust as time goes on, but I didn't realize that, you know, that it doesn't really work like that. It's like you have more things that you want to put in different spots than, you know, you possibly can, and then you have to make decisions, and it's like, but I think there are better templates for what I'm doing than what I'm using. And it's like, I don't even have time to back up and do something like that, because the last one was just such a disaster. And like we talked about last time, I ended up losing all my search engine, you know, all my search engine traffic because of it, you know, for months. And I didn't even know it.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of ways you could deal with that one to start with. I'm actually getting a free design done right now for my blog by the guys at Unique Blog Designs, Nate Whitehill and his team. Now, I actually wanted to pay them. I said, you know, I need to get some upgrading done. I'm a bit slow with keeping up with the latest WordPress and so forth. So Nate said, listen, you know, you've obviously got a lot of exposure. We have a policy. We do blogs who can help us by giving us exposure. We do their designs for free. So he's been working on a design for me behind the scenes to, you know, to help me. But he obviously gets exposure to my audience. And you're going to get an email from me one day that says, go to uniqueblogdesigns.com to get great blog designs, you know, and get custom work done. Now, I don't know if Nate would want to do a free one for yours because you're in a different niche. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. Maybe some other designers would. There's a lot of blog designers out there who want to get their name out, and they see what Nate did. And he did the design for johnchow.com, for shoemoney.com, all these top blogs. He did those for free because he knew he would get a lot of exposure for his company. So there's got to be other blog designers who will do that. And you just have to find them, say, listen, I've got a blog that's growing like crazy. I'll stick your logo on a new blog design in the footer. Would you do a new custom design for me? And that might just solve that problem.
Well, that'll be one off the list.
One off the list, yeah. I can't go through your entire list now, Mitch.
I think that would take a couple of calls all by itself. But I appreciate all the help and all the help of everybody else out there, too, because it's all your questions that really, you know, I've answered a lot of my questions, you know, throughout this whole process so far.
Okay. Awesome, Mitch. All right, I'm going to jump on to the next one. Hello, is that Steve? Hello, Steve, are you there?
Hey, Yaro, it's Steve from Toronto.
Hey, Toronto, good stuff, Steve. How can I help?
Well, I write a blog called freedomeducation.ca, and it's a personal development website. I talk a lot about the law of attraction and the science of getting rich. And I guess I had more of a comment than a question, because when I first heard Mitch come on the line, he really inspired me, and I went and checked out his blog, and he's got these videos that he's claiming are crappy, but he's just fantastic. He's just really enthusiastic about his topic, and I could see why he's been so successful. So what I've done is I actually taken his advice and I posted a couple of videos, and I do a Motivational Mondays now, and I've been getting comments on them and I'm getting a lot of great feedback. And so I don't know, I guess I just wanted to say thanks to Mitch. He keeps coming in the line saying he's got all these problems, but I think they're great problems.
Yeah, it is good problems to have, that's for sure. And it's a good point, Steve. We haven't touched much on social media and multimedia, and I think video is really becoming I almost say easy way to tap into a big audience, because you can really get your personality as well as some quality content produced and distributed quite easily. So you know, you two are good examples of it right away, right there.
Yeah, I think what he's doing is fantastic, and I just been having a lot of fun doing the videos too, and I guess that's the whole point. You might as well have fun while you're building a great website.
Definitely. All right, Steve, thanks for your comments. I'm sure Mitch will pop up and want to say thank you, no doubt. But I'll get to everyone else first before that happens. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerome.
Hey, just one more quick question. This is Jay again in San Francisco.
Go ahead.
It ties into the video question. Kind of a two-part question. I have a Mac, and I think you have a Mac as well. And I know that right now Camtasia doesn't have a version for Macs, and I'm wondering if it's probably somewhere in your resource section. There was the first question is a program where you can take something I've taken with my camera, with my video, and then put links on top of it, et cetera, for videos. And then if you're willing to give out what you or Mitch or anyone else uses video-wise, if you guys have some options or suggestions for a Mac user, I appreciate your feedback.
Sure. I don't know if you made the fast action bonuses or not, Jay. Probably not, but there's a great interview I did with Gideon for that. Totally developed the video. We go through everything for Mac and Windows. So if you're interested, in getting a hold of... Sorry?
No, I was going to say, is that a call that I can look up that's in the archives?
Probably not, because you do have to qualify for that one. Give me an email at the support address, and okay. I can possibly hook you up with that. But it was for a fast action bonuses. But let me just quickly go over it so you do have an answer. I currently use a couple of tools. ScreenFlow is the application to record my desktop as well as my smiling face. So you can use it's basically Camtasia for Mac, but even better in my opinion. Blog Mastermind was created mostly on a Windows-based machine. I only switched to Mac this year. The videos I did for the conversion blogging series was done with Mac and ScreenFlow. So that allowed me to record my face as well as my desktop and edit those two things together. You know, ScreenFlow is, you know, under $100, brilliant piece of software, very easy to use. Not perfect, but very good. There's some other options out there. I mean, Mac comes with iMovie. You know, that's already an option for recording your face. QuickTime, you just upgrade to the paid version for $15, something like that. It'll get you recording of your face, and you can upload to YouTube. All these things will give you output that will, you know, go on YouTube or any of those video sharing sites, and you can then use that on your blog. So that's the very low entry. I would recommend, if you're, you know, going to go producing desktop stuff, then ScreenFlow is a great way to do it. I currently only use ScreenFlow and iMovie to produce video for what I do. That's it, literally. I do have a copy of Final Cut Express. I just haven't got around to teaching myself how to use it yet to do the more advanced stuff. But Gideon Shalwick from Become a Blogger, he's sort of the video guy who I work with for more of the advanced video stuff. So, and you'll be seeing more from him very soon regarding multimedia and this sort of thing. But yeah, that's pretty much sums it up.
So can you use the screen, if you invest in the ScreenFlow software, can you use that could I go out on the street with my camera that also does video, and can I use the ScreenFlow to modify those things by my USB port on my computer? Is that something you can do with ScreenFlow?
Yeah, you can. It's not really, it's more a screen recording tool. It's not so much a editing footage. I would actually use iMovie for that, but you know, I have a little Creative Vado. It's like a flip camera. You know, it's $100 that you take it in your pocket. It's, yeah, you know, just quick for recording stuff on the street. And I just import that into iMovie, do editing, but nothing more than cutting stuff out and putting things together. So they have clips go together, and you can put little captions over certain things, but that's it. That's all I'm talking about. And that's all done through iMovie. You know, I export an iMovie, upload to YouTube, and then just copy that onto the blog and done. So, some of these things, in fact, the little camera I've got would be capable of uploading straight to YouTube. I just don't want to put everything straight up like that. You want to cut certain bits out. So iMovie is a good introductory tool.
The last thing to follow up is somewhere on there, I lost track of where it was on your website in the resources. There's some tool that allow you to put a hyperlink or something on top of your video that they can click on to go right to Blog Mastermind or whatever. What was that one from?
That's a new one. I only just recently discovered that. Gideon actually showed me that one. If you go to the archives of my blog from, would be October, I believe, late October, you'll find the link to that. It's just a little free service provided by this website. I can't remember what it's called, but it lets you put in the address of a YouTube video and make it clickable and little text on top of it. So, look in the archives of my blog. That'll find you the answer.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
Hi, Yarrow. This is Leslie again. Mitch's question actually triggered something in my mind. Yesterday, I was reading an article on your blog that was written by Catherine Alice on traveling and growing your business.
Right.
And I was really fascinated by it, and it started me thinking about hiring a virtual assistant. And I was wondering when is it a good time to start doing something like that? Is it and I've already started monetizing my blog, but what would you recommend in terms of how much of what I'm getting in to invest into hiring other people so that the workload doesn't get too overwhelming for me over time?
That's a bit of a personal one. As I've probably heard me talk about before, I was a bit slow with the old outsourcing thing, and I think in hindsight it slowed me down too much. I should have been getting help earlier. That was purely a mindset issue. I didn't think I had the cash flow to cover things, so I wanted to see the money in my bank, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's a mindset thing. You know, you can change your mindset about that. I would go to people, and if your bases are covered, your living expenses are covered, and you're getting cash flow from your business on top of that, I would be using that straight away to start outsourcing. And if that means a virtual assistant is the first step, which it usually is for most people, I would get it. So whatever it is you're currently spending a lot of time on during the day that's taking you away from the money activities, get that outsourced. Email is the first thing. If you're spending 2 or 3 hours a day responding to email, get yourself an assistant to deal with your email for you first, even with just a filtering mechanism. Have them read your emails, highlight the ones you need to pay attention to, and the other ones can be either deleted or filed away for a once a week look at, whatever it is. And that just saves a lot of time, and that time can be used to produce blog content, to create projects that you can sell, all kinds of things. So eventually, as you grow with this, you'll bring on more and more people to help you to do it. And if you got the cash flow, do it as soon as you can.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem. Okay. Next.
Hi, Yarrow. It's Frank in Florida.
Hi, Frank.
Hi. I have a question on the on your own internal links to your own blog. As you're adding content onto your own blog, say like you do 3 or 4 articles a week, and I want to give you an example so you understand what I'm trying to say, is hypothetically, say you have one article that talks about free checking accounts for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And then say 3 or 4 posts later, you use the word free checking account. How often or how consistently would you internally link the word free checking account to the other article that you wrote maybe 3-4 days ago or a week ago or even 2 weeks ago?
That's a good question. I don't have a definitive answer because I don't know what Google likes and what Google doesn't like, but I try to think about the human first. So the human definitely wants the first, you know, first time they see that phrase to be linkable if it's relevant. So you're going to give them an internal link then. I will often do it maybe two or three times within one article, especially if it's something that's like an affiliate review, because people often will click a link on impulse. So right. That's an affiliate marketing thing, though. It's a bit different when you're talking about internal links for your own SEO or something like that. If it, see, the risk you've got with the SEO factor is that you overlink, and you know one article which repeats the phrase 10 times and all 10 links point to that other article, that's too much, in my opinion. Again, I've got no way of proving this to you. You know, I can't tell you that Google says you shouldn't link 10 times to using the same phrase to the same article. And you know, even if you change the phrase to different words and link to the same article, Google might not like that. They might see it as over-optimizing. So I think everything in moderation is a good rule. So help the humans first, give them the first link. Maybe if you know it's been four or five more paragraphs, so it actually takes a scroll to get up to the original link, repeat the link. So humans don't have to, you know, jump from your article top to the bottom to find what they want, and let the search engine handle it itself.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
No problem. All right, guys, I've got one more hand up, I think. And I'll answer this one, and then we're getting close to the hour, so we'll see where we're at after this.
Hi, Yaros Lucette again. My site was hacked yesterday, actually Sunday and Monday. Now, I'm just getting started. I'm on lesson 3 or 4, so maybe this wasn't a major. I mean, I'm glad that it happened now and not a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
But Bluehost, which is the company that is hosting my site, said, well, sorry about your loss. Pretty much really? The attitude is, you know, it's my problem. So is that the way it is? I mean, are we like on our own here?
Not with a good host, usually. I know Bluehost, and they have a very good reputation, so I'm a bit surprised about that. I think it depends what the policies are of your host to start with. Often for the really cheap hosting, you know, like $4.95 a month, sort of introductory levels, they might have a couple of you know, levels of backup for you. And what you can do is say, you know, can you restore my website to what it was a day ago? That's for the instances where I've been hacked or something bad has happened. That's what they've been able to do because they have redundancy in place. And it's just a case of, you know, asking them, listen, guys, I got hacked. I don't have a local backup to restore. That's older than a week. And I'm wondering if you might have a 24-hour version or even a 12-hour version, something fairly recent, and they can restore from that point. And most good hosts will be able to do that. That's their business. I don't know if you asked Bluehost whether they had a copied version of your site from a day ago or something that they could restore, but I'd be surprised if they don't. And if they don't,
well,
then go ahead.
They had a November 1st version, which I thought it was a little old. But
right. Yeah. I mean,
I have to take that.
You know, this is a learning experience. If you decide to change hosts, one of the first questions you could ask is, if my site gets hacked and I don't have a local version, how old a backup will you have for me? And that will give you a good indication. The host I use at the moment for my blog, Known Host, it's not, ironically, a very well-known host. It's not like a Bluehost or a Dreamhost or Hostgator or something like that. And I'm paying a bit more because I'm using a virtual private server. And I think once you start paying a bit more, you're going to get that level of redundancy. So it's you can be as paranoid as you want with this. Have a person do daily backups of your website. And, you know, that's something you can outsource or have automated with a script. There's a plugin, which I linked to in the lessons, that will send a backup file directly from, I think it's your WordPress database, to your email account. And it'll do that once a day. So that's a great way to back up your content. It won't necessarily back up your theme design. It'll just get your posts so you have them. That's something I recommend everyone has it at least, so they've got a local version. But, you know,
on a the plugin, I'm sorry?
I don't have the plugin in front of me, but something like WordPress database backup will be it. If you do Google search for that, WP database backup plugin, something like that, we'll definitely find you the options. There's one very prominent one, I believe, that will provide that service. And other than that, you know, if you're not happy with the hosts, either move or, you know, ask them, do you guys not do daily backups for a reason? You know, what's your policy on backups? And why did I get hacked? I want to find out that too. You know, what's the?
That's what I've been trying to figure out since Sunday and Monday. And one of my friends told me, "Do you have a firewall?" And I said, "Uh-oh, I didn't." So I assumed that because I had a. What happened was I went to a motel last week for a week because I wanted to really focus on my website and not have any disruptions. And there was a Wi-Fi connection. And I have a feeling that that's where the problem started because I've never had these problems online ever in my life. So
It's tough to say. When you say you got hacked, what happened? Like, did you lose content? Okay,
on Sunday, I lost the scene. But because I was doing so much work with plugins, I said, well, maybe something I did. And then on Monday, my entire photo blog was wiped out. And that's when I knew that, because I haven't touched the photo blog since November 1st.
Right.
So I knew that something was happening.
Yeah, see, there's a lot of automated scripts that go around looking for holes in websites, and they're not even humans running them. They just go in, find a hole, and then, you know, take something down or switch it with pornography or something like that. So, you know, all you can do is make sure your software is up to date and your host has got redundancy in place, and then just fingers crossed, too, that you're not targeted.
Okay?
No problem. All right, I'm going to look for any more hands up, but if not, I will wrap up this call. It's been a good one. Glad to see that the numbers of people in the room never exceeded our capacity, so everyone who wanted to get in could get in. I'm currently in Paris at the moment, so I will be leaving Paris soon enough. So the next call, I probably won't be here. I'm not even sure where I'll be. Somewhere further south in Europe, making my way slowly back to Australia in time for Christmas. So I hope everyone got something out of the call. And I'll probably schedule one for 2 weeks' time. We'll get back to our regular schedule every 2 weeks. If you have a question before that, in the meantime, go to the forums, ask your question there, and happy to respond. In the forum, I get into the forum about once a day, and I might take up to 48 hours to respond. But if you do definitely want my immediate attention, send me a link to the post you made through a private message in the forum so I can find your thread. But I check the questions for Mentors Forum on a daily basis. The recording for this call will go out shortly. And that's pretty much it, everyone. I hope you enjoyed the call. I'm going to unmute the line for everyone as I'm starting to do. If you just want to say goodbye or have any shout-outs, go ahead and do it. And thanks for joining me on the call.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Yaro.
Take care, Yaro.
Hey, thanks, everyone.
Safe travels.
Thanks, everyone. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.